When you have it, say amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name, Father God. Lord, we ask that you speak through me that I might speak through your people, speak to your people, Lord. For Father God, your word is the bread of life, and we ask that you open up your word today like you never have before, that we might leave here with the message that you so firmly put on my heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. This morning I'll be preaching on a simple title, a simple message. Go and recover all. I've cried my last tear. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, go and recover all. I've cried my last tear. Neighbor, go and recover all. I've cried my last tear. Amen. And before we get to our particular text, I want to give you some background. David had been running from Saul for some time now. Saul, after the present text, was the current king over Israel, but Saul was elected by the people. He was elected by the popular vote because he was a particular individual. He was tall, he was a handsome person, and people liked him. And he was the one that the people had chosen. But God's person is not what the people choose. God had chosen David, amen, to be the king over his people. And David loved Saul. But as David's fame grew, David the one who killed Goliath, and David the one who killed many people, many more than Saul, his fame began to grow, and Saul would get so jealous that he sought to kill David because he saw David as a threat to his kingdom. So, in this text, we're going to find that David is running from Saul. 1 Samuel 16:1, you don't have to go there, but I want you to hear it. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him, reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. I have provided me a king among his sons. That's speaking of David. And here we learn more about Saul's hatred for David. In Samuel 18:8, it says this, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. To me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can be more than but the kingdom? And then verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Meaning from that day forward, Saul was out to get David because he was so jealous. And sometimes when you're anointed of God and God has called you to ministry, you can find yourself in great persecution from those that are in present leadership. Amen. David finds himself, in our text, joining company with somebody named Achish, the son of Maachah, the king of Gath. David asks for refuge. We find this in chapter 27 and verse 1. I'm going to read the text. It says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more, any coast in Israel, and I will escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maachah, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish of Gath, and his men, everyone with his household, even David with his two wives, Abilene the Jezreel and Abigail the Carmelite, Nabal's wife. After a while, I want you to understand the picture, David's running from Saul. He runs to a non-foreign land. He actually goes into the enemy's land. He goes into the land of the Philistines, the very enemies of Israel. Amen? But because he was so afraid of Saul, he knew that if he went to this other land, that Saul would stop trying to get him. So while he's in this land, he partners up with this particular person, and after he's been there for a while, he asked the prince to give him a little bit of his land for him and his men so that they can do their own thing. In verse 27 in chapter 5, it says, and David said unto Achish, I have now found grace in thine eyes. Let them give me a place in some town and country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? And then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag retaineth unto the kings of Judah, even unto this day. Now while David was in Ziklag, him and his army were busy wiping out the inhabitants of the land. Now imagine you let someone come stay with you in your country, in your dominion, and that same person is turning left and right, just killing people in your land. David was wiping out the inhabitants of the land. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 8. And David and his men went up and invaded the Jezreels and the Jezreites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old inhabitants of the land, as thou goest, sir, even into the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away his sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and apparel, and returned, and came to Ashen. Now David's having a great time. He's invading, he's conquering, his gain, his land is increasing, his cattle is increasing, because he's wiping out these nations. And one day, while they're out attacking the inhabitants of the land, their homes get attacked. Which brings us to our text this morning. So I want you to understand the full picture again. David was fleeing from Saul because he knew that Saul was trying to kill him, because David knew that God was going to anoint him king and that God had already anointed him king. David runs into a far country, so to escape that wrath, and in this country, he's given a little bit of land, he's given a little bit of possession, and he's making war with some of the inhabitants of the land and driving them out. Amen. But in this particular text, we find that David, while he's out in the battlefield, the enemy comes and gets him. Amen. If you look at me now, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. They had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them and went away. So David and his men came to the holy city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people were with him lifted up their voice and wept, and they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Abinadab the Jezreel, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his son, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. So we have a king, David, that was out on the battleground. And while he was out on the battleground, someone else came in. In a moment's time, David finds himself in a state of struggle. Everything that he loved, everything that he held dear, his family members, his possessions, his wealth, his home, had been burnt, taken down to the ground. Everything was stolen in a moment's time. And in this moment's time, he was already running from Saul. Now his wives, now his children, the wives and children of his men were taken. And then his men turned on him. They were so angry with him that they thought about stoning him. They thought about putting an end to David, because they blamed him for their situation. Amen. In a moment's time, David, at that point, we might think that's when we've lost our job. We might think that's when we've just lost our house, and we might be in a crisis time of our life when everything that could go wrong had gone wrong. David was having a Job experience. Amen. He was having a time in his life when everything that could have went wrong went wrong. He could have given up. He could have quit. He could have stopped doing what he was doing. He could have surrendered. But what does the Bible say? It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. David took his problems, took his care to a God that could solve them, to a God that could give him understanding, to a God that could give him instruction. In your time of most dire straits, when everything that is gone is blown up out of control, encourage yourself in the Lord, because God has an answer.
Amen.
God has an answer. No matter what might be happening in your life, your mom and dad might not be getting along. You might have a problem with drug addiction. You might not have a job. You might have just lost your house. You might have just lost your job, or your car broke down. But I've got good news for you. Don't give up. Do as David did. Go before the Lord when everybody is cursing you, cussing you, blaming you. What do? Don't give up. Go before the Lord.
Amen.
Go before the Lord. So it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
David went before the Lord, and let me tell you what God had to say. We find it in verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar of the priests, Abimelech's son. I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought together the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. In the midst of David's Job situation, David gets it right. Job had the attitude, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. David asked God what to do. Learn from this. David didn't have a clue. His wives, his cattle, his home, gone away. They didn't have MapQuest in this day. They didn't know where the enemy had taken them. They didn't know if the enemy had abused them or killed them or done away with them. We learned in earlier verses that they didn't do that. They just took them all and then didn't touch them at all. But David asked the Lord what to do. He says, Shall I go? Shall I overtake them? David asked God, If I fight this fight, will I win? Again, he asked God what to do. He said, Where shall I go? If I go, will I overtake them? And will I win this fight if I fight it? And the Lord speaks. The Lord gives the commandment and says, Go. You shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Children of God, I want you to understand something. The devil might have gotten the better hand of you for a moment. The devil might have gotten in while you were out doing God's business. He might have snuck in, crept in, and made some chaos in your home. But what you need to do is do like David did. When all hell is breaking loose, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will? Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you want me to fight or do you want me to quit? Do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? And the answer came, glory to God. You shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. When God says without fail, when God's word comes, it is done. David had to go by faith. He only had 600 men. He only had a few. He didn't have the whole backing of Israel. He had to walk out on faith. He had to hear the word of the Lord and go out boldly. And guess what? When you take God at his word, a miracle's about to happen. Everything was going wrong. David heard what the Lord had said, and he went out on faith. David could have rejected and said, That's not the Lord. He could have talked himself out of what God was going to do. But we're going to learn today that he took the Lord at his word. Verse 9 says this, So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over to the brook Besor. These men were in such emotional distress. Imagine, Tanya, you came home when your children were kidnapped. Okay. Imagine you came home and what you loved was gone, children. Imagine you came home and your brand new Xbox or your brand new pair of jeans that you just got for Christmas was taken. Imagine your Christmas present just being taken away from you and your level. You'd be distressed. You'd be dismayed. They were so distraught that out of the 600, 200 of them couldn't even go on. They were stuck. They were in a pit, and they didn't have what David had. They didn't have the faith that David had. David had heard what God had said, and when you hear God's word, it will strengthen your legs. When you hear God's word, it will strengthen your mind. It will strengthen your body. It will strengthen your comfort. It'll strengthen your being. David could have been faint. He was crying too. And said they cried till they couldn't cry anymore. Because they thought they had lost everything. And some of them let grief get the best of them. And they gave up. And they stayed behind. But look what David did. David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 bowed behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the big Besor. The devil had distressed these men so badly that they were in so much grief that they couldn't even move. But sometimes in the Bible, there's funny things. The word Besor means cheer. The word Besor means cheer. We're going to find out something that if you will take God at his word and go through your valley of Besor, there's cheer to follow. We're going to learn that if you simply take God at his word and not give up, there's cheer coming to your life. There's new hope coming to your life. There's a new blessing coming to your life. There's a new plan coming to your life. The devil might have done some things, but God will undo what the devil has done. Amen. So it says in verse 30, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came to him again, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and the master left me because I was gone, and I fell sick. And there was an invasion upon the south of Cherubites, and upon the coast that belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. That was David's home, amen. And David said unto him, can thou bringest me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. God provided David with a GPS navigator, which led him where to go. This is God's technology. Like I said, they didn't have all this technology back then. David didn't know where to go. But God provided him with a roadmap that spoke. It happened to be a servant of the same people that burned David's home. And the man said, if you promise not to kill me and not to deliver you to my master, I will take you down to where they are. God pointed David in the right direction. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. So it says in verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. The devil's joy, amen, is but for a short season. You see, the people that had taken David's possessions, they were having a party. They were saying, ha, 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 ha! We got all these women, all these cattle, all these possessions, and they were rejoicing. The devil loves to rejoice when he takes God's children's gifts. The devil loves it when he can take away a children of God's joy. He loves it when he can take away what God has given us, our hope and our spirit and our bright future. He loves it when he can get us down into the dumps to where we're looking at ourselves and not looking at God. But I've got good news. The devil's joy, the devil's time is but for a short season. David was given the ability to see what the devil was doing, see this joy that they were having. But guess what happens, amen? Verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the next day, and there escaped not a man from them save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all the Amalekites that carried away, and David rescued his two wives, amen? And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken. David recovered all. David recovered all. I don't know if you're getting it this morning, but it says that the enemy was having a party. And then it says God whipped their butts. David went down, gave them such a beating, and went from the morning to the evening of the next day. God allowed David such victory with 400 men that they got rid of every single person that had caused them harm, except for 400 that God allowed to escape to live to tell the story about how what happens to when you mess with God's children. Amen. So it says, in there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken. David recovered all. David recovered some of what the Amalekites had taken. Is that what the Bible says? Does it say that David recovered some? Or does it say that David recovered all? Every last thing that the enemy had taken, the Lord gave back. The enemy might right now have taken your family members. They might have your family members in bondage. They might have your family members bound to drugs, to alcohol, to an incorrect life. They might be lost. They might be in a state of despair. They might be so feeble that they cannot move. Amen. But God has a plan. Encourage yourself in the Lord and go and recover all. David had cried his last tear. The tears of sorrow turn into tears of joy, because when God moves, when God moves, when God moves, the devil can have no victory. Amen. The devil can have no victory. And it says in verse 30 and 20, let me show you how well God turned this around. He gave David a little bit of something for his troubles. Verse 20 says, and David took all the flocks and the herds, which they dragged before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. What the devil had stolen from David, God gave it back, and not just what was taken, but his spoils. They had come and took his wives and children, his cattle. Not only did God give him back all that, I'm telling you, he had a Job experience. Job lost his wife, Job lost his children, Job lost his home, but when God came through, everything that Job lost was given over a hundredfold. Job was blessed with everything beyond measure. His houses, his lands, his possessions, all increased. And in this particular circumstance, in David's Job experience, he got back everything the devil had taken. Everything that was lost, he recovered, amen. And then he had David's spoil. But there's a lesson to be learned. You must know the company that you keep.
Yeah.
Verse 21 says this, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they made also to abode in the brook Besor. And when they went forth to meet David, to meet the people, they that were with him, and when David came near the people, he saluted them. They answered all the wicked men of Belial, and those that went with David, and said, because they went not out with us, we will not give them the out of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may leave and depart. We must watch, amen, the company that we keep. Satan was in the midst, always trying to blaspheme. These 400 men, the wicked ones, had it in their heads that they fought the battle in their own strength and their own ability, that they had won. Let me tell you, 400 men didn't win the battle. It took the Spirit of Almighty God for them to win the battle. And David knew this. He said, I'm not going to let you take glory for this. It was the Lord who preserved us. It was the Lord that handed them over to us. It was the Lord that gave us deliverance. Amen. You must never allow someone to trick you into giving glory to yourself. That's blasphemy. When you attribute something that God has done and you take the credit for it, it's blasphemy. That's what it means. If God saved you and then you give glory to Buddha or somebody else, that's blasphemy. But when you give God glory for what he has done, then you are in right standing. Amen. Verse 23 says this, and David said, you will not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered us from the company that come against us into our hand. For we will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part that goeth down into the battle, so shall his part that tarrieth by the stuff that shall take alike. It was from this day forth that he made a statute and ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even unto his friends, saying, behold, a present for you and the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. David shared his blessing with everybody. The people that didn't do anything, the people that didn't fight, got the same reward as those that did fight. The people that didn't go to battle got the same reward as those that went to battle. Because the bottom line, the person that went to battle was the Lord. The person that won the battle was the Lord. And the Lord can do with what he has as he will, amen. The Lord will do as he will with what he has, amen. Amen. We learned a couple weeks ago that when there was a vineyard and he had men come and work, he gave every man the same. God's grace is the same for every man. Amen. Amen. God's grace is the same for every man. Now, I know I've read this story, but let me bring it home for you, amen. God is our Father.
Amen.
We were taken by the enemy. The devil had destroyed our lives, but God sent his son Jesus to recover all. Jesus sought out our enemy and brought us back to safety and then gave us gifts Jesus spoil. Amen. Christ fought the battle when we were weary. God in heaven saw his children in captivity. God in heaven saw his children being carried away. God in heaven saw our lives being destroyed. So what did he do? He sent his son. He sent his promise into the world to go and recover all. Jesus came seeking the lost sheep. Let me tell you, David was lost. His family was lost. But the good shepherd that God sent down into this world will reach out to the hearts and the lives of people anywhere and bring them back. And what the devil has ruined, the years that he's taken, don't compare to the eternity that God will give.
Amen.
Jesus spoiled. Jesus came. He captured us back. He led captivity captive. And then he gave us gifts, as we learned a couple weeks ago.
Amen.
Jesus spoiled. God does not allow his children to be lost. David spoiled. You see, I've cried my last tear. I know what God can do. I see the 20 years of my life that I wasn't serving the Lord. I've seen the days upon days upon days that I didn't live in victory. I've seen the pitfalls of hell, but to the glory of God, I've seen the heights of heaven.
Amen.
You might have a problem right now. There might be a circumstance that's got you down to where you think you can't fight the good fight of faith. But I've got good news. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. The Lord has a word for you. Go and recover all. Amen. Go and recover all. David spoiled. You think that the devil's got the better part of your life? That's not what's going to happen. Believe the Lord, amen. I'd ask you all to stand this morning. Are there any Davids this morning? Are there any here that have found yourself in a pitfall? Are there any Davids this morning?
When I walk,
are there any of you here that have given up, have no hope? You think that there's no point in living? You think there's no point in going on, and you just want to stop? Are there any here that have lost everything? Jesus says, "Go and recover all." David had to believe. So do we. David had to believe. Likewise, do we.
Surrounded by your glory.
If you haven't accepted Jesus, accept it today. Won't you allow God to protect you and keep you and bless you? Today is the day. You see, we've been running from the king for too long. David was to be king, but he was running. How long are we going to run from the king? Because God wants to give you heaven. Running from his God-called position and found himself in this predicament. Consequence.
I can only.
How long are we going to run from the king?
When that day comes, when I find.
Are there any here this morning that need to come home and need for God to save you? These altars are open. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I can most assuredly guarantee you the devil is having his way in your life. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, these altars are open. God is here to save. God can recover all. Jesus can undo the devil's damage. If you need prayer this morning, these altars are open. God is here this morning. The Lord is here, amen. And he will recover what has been lost. Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the soul that you have saved out of the enemy's hand. We thank you for bringing us back to your kingdom. Father God, we were the prodigals, all lost and had wasted everything, Father God. But you have restored us, Lord. You have clothed us, for we were lost and we are found. And Father God, we come to you.